Well, I want to give you all a warm welcome tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, especially those people that are visiting with us tonight. You're very welcome. It's nice to see your face, and it's nice to have fellowship with you. And it's good to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Amen. So we're gathered tonight in His name to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus and to proclaim Him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Praise God. Maybe you just want to skip your hair. Tommy read it this morning, and I was just thinking when he read it, and it was Isaiah chapter 9, and it's verse 6. Praise God tonight for His word. We know His word is precious tonight. It's precious. You know, it said that there was a day. It says in the day when every man done what they thought they was right in their own eyes. And there was no open vision. And the word of God was precious in those days. And today is the same. There's not really an open vision today. And the Antichrist system's in full swing and full sway. And you hear all the talk about Brexit, and you hear all this talk about the different things. I want to say from behind this pulpit tonight, it's the Antichrist system. Their money is the Antichrist money. Their measurements are the Antichrist measurements. And all these things that they have tonight, and seemingly they want to stay with that system. They want to keep there and stay in that system. And I believe in my own heart tonight that we are at the end time. And I believe that the coming of our Lord Jesus is nigh. And you know, at this time of year, it's a time of year when people are thinking about everything. But we know the Lord wasn't really born Christmas. But we can remember His birth nearly at any time. But tonight we want to read these scriptures and maybe have a few thoughts about these things. And it says here, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called the Counselor," it says, "called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace," it says, "of his government and the peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Praise God. Father God, we bow in Thy presence tonight. We thank Thee for the truth of Thy word tonight. And Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for Thy goodness to each and every one of us. We pray, Father, Thy name be exalted tonight and lifted up. Father, we pray, touch our hearts tonight. Let the Holy Ghost come now and take control of our service. Lord, we believe You're already here. Lord, we commit ourselves to Thee, and we pray, Lord, tonight that all glory, honor, and praise go to Thy name. Lord, we cast down every work of the enemy tonight, and we lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. We bind the powers of darkness tonight, not in our own name nor by our own power, but in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus. Father God, bless us now as we look at Thy precious word. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I think it's a wonderful scripture. It's a great scripture. Unto us a child is born. You know, most Jewish people, and some of the Jewish people, you know, when they were asked the question, "Who was this?" A servant of God asked a rabbi one time, he said, "Who do you think it was?" And he said it was God. The rabbi said it was God. It was God. For only God could redeem man. And you know, It's a wonderful thing today because people read scripture today and they pass over it that quickly. They read it and they just run on, pass over it. And they maybe never really get the truth that's in it. And you know, God in Revelation speaking to the church ages, when he was speaking to the church ages, is an important thing that some people miss. And not only was he speaking to the churches, but he was speaking to the individuals. And he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let him hear. Not the church, but him that heareth." And you know, some people, they just run out over the scripture, they pass it by. But we know that God had a plan of salvation. That God had a plan of salvation from man fell in the garden. And we know that when man was separated from God in the Garden of Eden, we know that God promised a seed to the woman. And he said that seed would bruise the serpent's head and he would bruise his heel. Mm-hmm. We understand tonight that most Bible scholars, we know that's Christ. That was the Lord coming. And we know that Jesus, he didn't come unto the scribes and the Pharisees. We sung a wee song tonight as the angels were watching their sheep in the fields. Now the angel of the Lord didn't go down to the Pharisees and say, "Now Jesus is born, you'll find him lapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." He went down to the shepherds that were in the fields watching their flocks by night. And that's who the angel of the Lord come. He just come to Lord me people, because they had brought in that many laws and they had turned the word of God. They had actually made it unaffected. And Jesus said to them, he says, "You do what they tell you, but don't do as they do." He said, "You do what they're saying is right, but you don't do what they are doing." They didn't do right. They changed the things. They twisted stuff around. And because they done that, they got away from the truth. And look how it was when Jesus come. You know, when Jesus spoke to them and done the miracles and done the works that he done and was preaching to them of the kingdom of heaven and healing the sick and raising the dead and feeding the 5,000 and the miracles that Jesus done. You know, them scribes and Pharisees, you know, they had to admit that a man couldn't do them himself. But you know, the question that they asked was this: has any of us believed on him? Has any of us believed on him? You know, if you went down into some of these establishments today and said certain things, you know what they'd do with you? They'd tell you to get out. They'd show you the door. They wouldn't want you in. And they wouldn't want to listen to anything from the scripture. And you know, it's a powerful time that we live in. The time that we live in, you know, Jesus didn't come at the wrong time. He came at the right time.
Amen.
And he came as God had meant him to come at that particular time. And you know, it's a wonderful thing, because this morning in our service this morning, the children all got their wee presents or their wee selection boxes or whatever they got. But you know, they didn't know what's in that till they opened it. And you know, I said to my wife at the back this morning, I said, "Take your pen, write this down for me." And I said, "Till I write it down now, unwrapping a gift. Unwrapping a gift." Well, you know, you see, God wants us to unwrap his gift tonight.
Amen.
The gift of a son, of a child that was born. A child is born, and unto us a son is given. Amen. And God wants us to look at that son tonight. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, "He who hath the Son hath life, and he who hath not the Son hath not life." And you know, it's so easy for to know, if someone give you a gift tonight and you took it home and you sat it down and never opened it, you're never going to know what's in it. And you're going to have to open it to look to see what's in it. And you know, if we want to know the things tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ, we have got to look at his word. Amen. We have to unwrap it tonight to know what's there. I'm glad tonight for His Word. I'm glad for His truth tonight. The Bible says ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm glad for that tonight. And you know, here it was. The angels give the message to the shepherds. And they give that message to those shepherds, and they said, you'll find him lying in a manger. And you know, they'll find him lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You know tonight, maybe you see, it's only a small group here, and a small wee group of people. But I actually believe that if you come in this service tonight, and you needed something from the Lord, amen, you could find the Lord here.
Right.
You know why? Not because of us, not because of me. No way.
No.
But because the Bible has said, we can unwrap a truth where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst.
Amen.
Now I want you to listen tonight to this. God watches over His Word to perform His Word. And what was this? And it was, this was the Word of God. This was God. This was, someone said, this was little Jehovah. This was God. This was God's Christ. Hallelujah. And God became flesh so that He could conquer the devil in the flesh to redeem man. Boy, I think it's powerful. You know, if you've got your wee present tonight, or your present tonight, and I believe we've got something tonight, let the Holy Ghost come and unwrap it for us.
Amen.
Let the Holy Ghost reveal to us tonight the truth of His Word.
Amen.
You know, here it was. Jesus, when He came up and was a young man of about 12, and when He went down with His mother and father, and He was in amongst them, they went a day's journey not realizing that He wasn't with them. And when they went back, where did they find Him? They found Him in amongst the doctors and the leaders.
Right.
And they marveled at the knowledge He had. Why would He not have knowledge? He was the creator of the heavens and the earth. The Bible tells me there was not one thing made. There wasn't one thing that came into being that wasn't made by Him.
Amen.
He made it.
Right.
Jesus Christ made it. The Bible says He's the beginning of the creation of God.
Amen.
Now we understand that in the King James it says that, but that's not really, the Word is not really the beginning. The Word is the origin.
That's right.
He's the one that done it.
Amen.
He's the God that made the heavens and the
Amen.
Earth.
Right.
And if we go over again and unwrap what John said, it says, we have seen with our eyes. We've hung it with our hands. We have seen it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with us, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, and where did it come? It dwelt amongst us. Jesus Christ come to destroy the works of the devil. He come to conquer death, and He come to conquer hell. And He conquered death and hell at the place called Calvary. I'm glad He come.
Amen.
I'm glad He was born. You know, you see people today, and they're saying this and that and there. I don't know what Bible. They might read a different Bible from me. Because, you know, I've said this here before from behind this platform. I'm going to say it tonight again. The Pope, one of the popes said the crucifixion was a mistake. And he said, don't come to me. Don't go to Jesus. Come to me. Now, if God could make a mistake, there would be plenty of mistakes then. If He ever made a mistake once, then He could make mistakes. But I want to assure you tonight, God doesn't make any mistakes.
Amen.
And I want to say something to you tonight. God can't add to His knowledge, because He has all knowledge.
Amen.
He knew the beginning. He knew the end from the beginning. And that knowledge is in God. And God can't be taught. He's the teacher. Hallelujah. Didn't He say whenever Peter and John on the day of Pentecost, they unwrapped the Word. What did He do? He said when He preached to them about how they had taken Jesus and how they had crucified Him and how that God had raised Him from the dead. What did He say? Acts 2:38. Repent ye therefore and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know what that gift is? You know, don't misunderstand me tonight. It's not really speaking in tongues. And it's not that. I believe in speaking in tongues. And I believe in prophesying. But I'll tell you tonight what that gift is. That gift is eternal life. When you receive Christ, you receive eternal life.
Amen.
Life. He hath not the Son hath life, and he hath not the Son, he hasn't got life. And Peter unwrapped that to them on the day of Pentecost. And what did he say? He said, the promise is unto you, and to your children's children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm glad tonight God's still calling people.
Amen.
There's still true Christians tonight.
Right.
There's still people filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. Now you might say, oh well brother, I don't do this, I don't do that. But I tell you something tonight. Jesus is our focus tonight.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus, this babe that was born in the place of man, he said, and his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor. Now he's called the Wonderful Counselor. And what else is he called? He's called the Mighty God.
Amen.
In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's in him.
That's right.
In him dwelleth that fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know, I remember one time this man come to the door and he called at the door of me. He was, he was a Jehovah Witness. And he called anyway and he talked to me and I said to him about Melchizedek and all. And he had one of these never intended versions of the Bible. New International, whatever you call it. But anyhow, that's all right, you might have one. I'm not saying don't, but I wouldn't have it. King James Bible's my Bible. But that's besides the point tonight. Because they've changed verses, they've took verses out, they've left bits out, they've changed words. Now it's a serious thing. God warned us not to pick anything out nor to put anything in. And I asked him, I said to him, he preached and read to me from the thing and all and talked to me. He talked a real long time. I could hardly didn't get a word in. And I said to him, why, tell me something. Have you got a real Bible in your bed? And we said, this is a real Bible. Not that tall, I said, come on, dear. You're not a King James Bible. Well, he says I have, and he you'd need it. Now, there's nothing wrong with the wee King James he had. It was a very small Bible, but you'd need it real. I couldn't have seen it. And you'd need a good eyesight to see it. And he pulled it out, and I said, I want to ask you a few questions. And I said, in Revelations, he says, Jesus says, I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Mm-hmm. And I says, you read on down, he says, he's the mighty God. I says, who was that? He looked and looked at me, and he never said anything.
No.
And I said, you said Jesus was lesser than God. You're telling me that Jesus was just more like a good man. He was a lesser than God. He couldn't be lesser than God. If he had been lesser than God, he couldn't have redeemed you. It had to be God. It had to be his blood to redeem you. No redemption without blood.
Amen.
That's right.
No life without the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. When Jesus died, we've often heard it preached. When Jesus died on the cross and he shed his blood, that Spirit was able to come back on the believer. And that Spirit was able to baptize you into the body of Christ. And that Spirit was able to reveal to you the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And Jesus Christ is God. He's none other. He's the mighty God.
Amen.
He looked at me. He didn't give me an answer. Then I said, well, there's an R scripture I would like you to give me a bit of an idea on it. I says, Melchizedek. Who was he?
Jesus Christ.
I says, Melchizedek. He says, you know, there's no account of him. I says, what do you mean there's no account? He says, the Bible says, there's no ascent or no descent. Some think he was a priest of that time in some of the temple. They think he was a priest now. I said, do you know who he was? He says, there's nobody knows. I says, that's strange, I know. And he looked at me and he says, you know.
Yes, I says, I do know. And I says, you said that you don't know. And I says, I want to tell you something straight right here and now. You are not born again.
Now you might think that was a wee bit strong, wouldn't you?
But that's the truth. Who was Melchizedek? He was God. He had to be God. Who was he? He had to be God. If he wasn't God, then his word was no use. And you know, let me say this tonight. You know the thing about God, the great revelation about God is this, that God never changes his mind about his words.
Amen.
What God said at the beginning is the same tonight as when he said it. God does not change his mind about his word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me show you one another thing here that God said. The psalmist, David, he unpacked the parcel. He opened it when he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. What? Who healeth, who forgiveth all my iniquities, who healeth all my diseases." Hallelujah. What did he say? What did the prophet say over God? Did God himself say to the prophet Moses over in Exodus? He says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee."
Amen.
That's what he said.
Amen.
He won't go back on it. What did he say, "Brother, oh, I've been prayed for, I'm not healed"? That doesn't make any difference. God's still a healer.
Amen.
He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And I want to say this tonight, the mother, you might have the circumstances in your body, but you have got to look beyond them circumstances and look to the one that was born in the manger, the one who was able to conquer death at that place called Calvary.
Amen.
That's where we've got to look tonight.
Amen.
He's the one. Then Isaiah unpacks him again. He says, "Who hath believed our report? Unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" For he says, "He shall go up as a tender plant out of dry ground." He said, "He hath no form, he hath no comeliness that when we see him." It says, "There's no beauty that we should desire him." But this Jesus Christ, he's talking of him. He's talking of the mighty God. He's talking of him. He's talking of this counselor. He's talking of this mighty God.
Amen.
That was able to lay down his life and to take it up again.
Amen.
He says, "They don't take." He says, "I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again."
Amen.
I'm glad tonight. I'm glad tonight. You know, whenever Jesus actually was forerun by John the Baptist.
That's right.
And you know, whenever John the Baptist, father Zechariah, it was him come around. It was his duty to do his service in the temple of God. And one day when he went in for to do a service in the temple of God, an angel appeared to him. And the angel told him that his wife would have a child. He told him all about it. And you know, he was a long time in before he came out. And when he came out, he couldn't speak. Because he didn't actually believe the account that he was told. Now you say, "Maybe, oh, I would have believed." But now, listen. We're not John. And what did that man feel like? It's hard to know what he felt like. But I want to say this tonight to you. That he came out. And the crowd knew that something had happened. He couldn't talk and he didn't talk. And you know Elizabeth lived up in the hill country.
That's right.
And she lived up in the hill country, and when the angel appeared to Mary and told Mary that she was expecting a child, you know, Joseph was said was mindful to put her away. But the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and told him not to be one bit of faith, but to take Mary as his wife. Because he said that which was in her, that she was carrying, or that which was to be born of her, that was the Christ that was coming. You know, after a certain length of time had passed, I think it had been almost 6 months with Elizabeth. And the Bible tells me she never had felt any signs of life.
That's right.
And Mary went up and testified to her. You read that account, she prophesied to her.
Amen.
And you see that where God come down, even the Spirit of God moved them people, and they spoke thus saith the Lord.
Right.
You know, God can still do that tonight.
Amen.
God can still speak tonight.
Amen.
God can still take a gift and speak tonight.
That's right.
And you know, I want to say this tonight. You know, God wants you, for this year coming in, God wants you to be encouraged. And I'll tell you what he wants you to do.
He wants you to set your face that you'll read your Bible and that you'll seek His face.
That's right.
You know, God doesn't want some big thing up here. He just wants you to be faithful and walk before Him.
That's right.
And you know, if you ask God, God will strengthen you and help you to do it.
Amen.
You know, sometimes God has to do wee things with us. You know, the man said one time about a sheepdog, he said the devil was like a sheepdog. When the sheepdog sent out, he sent out to round the sheep up so they'll come to the rightful place or do what the owner wants them to do. And sometimes, you know, with God's people, God lets the devil just run around a wee bit sometimes to sort of pull us back to where we should be. But I want to say this tonight, here it was. And she went up, and you know, when she heard the salutation of Mary, what happened? Says the babe leaped in her womb.
Amen.
And that was the first time she had felt that.
That's right.
But you know, when John came, you see, when John was born, they were going to call him Zechariah or call him after his father. And he beckoned them with his hands and they brought him a slate or whatever they wrote on in those days. And he wrote on it, "His name shall be John."
Amen.
Then he opened the package. He unwrapped it then. For he said he would be the most highest. What would he do? He would save our people from our sins. Just let me, just maybe not just quoting it right, but just let me look over here till I think it's in Luke. I want to just mark you, Luke. I'm an awful man for putting wee markers in the Bible. Too many wee markers in the Bible, but nevertheless, praise the Lord. Matthew, Luke chapter 1. Yes, Luke chapter 1. And you know, let me just read down from about verse 66 here, and you'll hear what he said. This is what he said about the child. This is what he said about John. I want you to listen carefully. Verse 65, it says, "And fear came all them that dwelt around about, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was upon him. And as far as Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied, saying," some people prophesy, but it's not really the Holy Ghost. But why, you can tell the difference when the Holy Ghost comes to the man and he prophesies. You know, there's just something about it. It lifts you up, doesn't it? It does you good. It strengthens you. And it says here, he prophesied saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spake by the mouth of the holy prophets, which have been since the world began." Look at that prophet. Look at Isaiah saying, "Unto us a child is born." Look how that the prophet, maybe, I don't know, many hundred years, maybe 700, 800, 900 years even before Christ come, the prophet Isaiah prophesied it was coming. Praise him tonight. And then he says that we should be saved, and from our enemies, and from the hand of those that hate us, and to perform the mercy to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. He remembers. He watches over his word tonight. What are the promises of God tonight? They're yeah and amen. God doesn't go back on any of his promises. He promised a son. He promised a deliverer. And Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin. Now this is a wonderful read. This is it. We'll just leave all down here for course it's very good. And it says on there, "And in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of his life. And that on the child shall be called the prophet of the highest. And he shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way." There it was. Look how God sent a prophet to go before him to prepare the way for him. You know, it's wonderful what God does, you know, and God has also sent a prophet in this last year. It's only some people are not aware of it. But God has sent that prophet. I hear different people say, "Oh, that's not right, this is not right, that's not right." Well, you know, I have listened to a lot of the prophet's tapes, I've read a lot of his books, and I want to say this. They point me to one place, Jesus Christ. They point me to a healer, a saviour, and a deliverer.
Amen.
And I tell you, if you look at them carefully and prayerfully, you see the same thing. And you know, there's a lot of people tonight, they're saying things tonight that God's prophet never said. They're putting stuff in tonight that he didn't say. But that's besides the point. But look, we're not to dwell on these things. We're to let our mind. If you go back and you read what Isaiah said, he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. Let our minds be stayed upon God, not what somebody else says or didn't say. If he speaks not according to the law and the testimony, you needn't worry one bit about it. You needn't care one bit about it. If it's not according to the truth, it'll not do you no harm. You know, I used to be, if I had met people that I didn't agree with, I'd nearly been ready to light on them. But not anymore. Not anymore. I wouldn't do that now. Because maybe them people think, well, they think they're right, I think I'm right. And what's the point? There's no point in getting all. But you know, sometimes, you know, if you take the soft approach, sometimes, then you get a chance to witness. You can hear what they think. You can say what you think. I'll never get into an argument. Never get into an argument about debate the scriptures. Don't get into it. You know what the Bible says? To debate the scriptures as the sin of witchcraft. Mm-hmm. And God condemned witchcraft in the Bible. So we don't do that. Yeah. You don't do that. Be gentle. Make. Be that way. You know, it says you're to pray for those who despitefully use you. That's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. The Bible says we're to pray for them. We're not to rise up against them in anger or. I show you. You know, I told you the wee story in here. Maybe some of you heard it, maybe some of you didn't. I'll try and tell it to you quickly. I biked into the car park one day. And I was in the car park and my wife was in with me. And I pulled across the car park, it's not very wide where it was. You have about the width of a car and a half when the cars are parked on each side. And if you're careful, you can turn them. And I pulled in, and here I pulled in, there was a man pulling out, so I seen him in the mirror pulling out. And I said to the wife, I'll back into where he pulled out. But during the time that I backed in where he pulled out, there's an old fella he pulled down in the low side of me, to the right hand side of me. And then I looked in the mirror again, some lady had pulled in straight across the back of me. And I think she was then parked in the park that I was going to park in. But I wouldn't have took her part, but I didn't see her. If she was there, I didn't notice her. I didn't see her. But that was besides the point. And this fellow won the windy down. He was up alongside of me and he won the windy down. And he says to me, you're nothing but a stupidy bleepity bleepity bleep. And I looked at him. And he says, an old boy like you shouldn't be driving. And he says, I'll tell you what you need. You need a queer slap on the mouth. And I said, oh, do it. Well, I said, would you like to give it to me? And you know, I was about, you know, if I had had room, I nearly would have got out. Well, that was all right. He pulled in the car park. By this time, the lady had moved from the back, she had caught on, I suppose, what was happening. And I backed in, and he backed in. And when he got out, there was a young fella. A young man. And he went down the back of the car, he didn't come down the front of him. And I sat in the car, and I was sitting in the car, and I was thinking, you know, if I had to get out, would I hit him? And you know, I was thinking this. And then something says to me, boys, that's a bird. You shouldn't have done that, boy. And I said, I shouldn't. But I said, Lord, I don't it. I'm sorry for doing it. Right, that was all right. Oh, I sat on a watch day and went down to the bank. And I sat on a watch day, come back from the bank. And I got out of the motor in the head towards him. And he rolled around behind the back of the car. And I said, you're all right. I said, boy, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have spoke to you the way I did. I said, I'm a Christian. And I said, I shouldn't have said what I said to you. And boy, he took some look at me. And he looked and I said, well, I'm sorry now. I shouldn't have said, but I said in the heat of the moment, I just done it. But he said, well, I'm sorry too. So we shake hands. And I witnessed to him about salvation. You know, God sometimes has to check you. And you know, sometimes we think we're above doing something that we shouldn't do. Sometimes we think we're above that. I want us in the night to realize that while we're here, we're still in the flesh. And you know, I want to unpack an all wee thing that John said in 1 John. He said, we have an advocate with Jesus Christ the righteous. That if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's quite present, isn't it? It's some present. It's some gift, eternal life, some gift. It's a great gift. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Only God could give you that gift. I can't give it. This we hold on the people that's in can't give it. We only can point you to the one that can give it. We'll point you tonight to the Lord Jesus, who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He can give you that gift. And I'll tell you tonight, if you're in this house tonight and you've never received that gift, it's free. You don't have to do. You know, you might say, oh well, I'll clean up and I'll come back and I'll get it. No, you can't. You know, he didn't ask you to clean up. He doesn't say clean up. Do you know what he says? Let me unpack this to you tonight. Let me unfold this tonight to you. He says, come as you are. Come as you are. Just as I am, by the way, and never have it right. I'm a fit one, please. But that my blood was shed for me, I come to thee. He's a saviour tonight.
Amen.
You know, man said to me one day, how do you know you're saved? Oh, I said, I know I'm saved. Aye, but he says, how do you know you're saved? Well, I says, the Bible says that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I says, I believe that. I believe that. I believe what he said. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick. And they what shall, not night, shall recover. I'm glad for that tonight. That's what it is tonight. There it was. Here he is. And this verse will be read at the night. Let me just read it, in Luke chapter 1, and let me read the verse 72 again. We've read, but let's let me read it again. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to redeem. It says to remember his holy covenant. When he raised up a covenant, he made a covenant with Abraham.
That's right.
And when he made that covenant with Abraham, he said to Abraham, you look up at the stars and see if you can number them. Mm-hmm. Abraham couldn't number them. Nah, could I? Nah, can all the great men with all their modern equipment can't number them. But God knows their number. Not only does he know their number, he knows their name.
Amen.
He calleth every star by name.
That's right.
He knoweth them. He made a covenant with them. And he said that God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. Him shall you hear. That prophet was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was more than a prophet. He was God.
Amen.
He was God veiled in flesh.
That's right.
And you know, it's on down here, it says the child grew and he waxed strong in the spirit, and he was in the desert till the day of his showing forth. You know, it's wonderful. It says he was in the desert till the day of his showing forth. And what did he do? He come forth, what for? To introduce the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now he unpacked the package too. He opened the package too to the people over there. You know what he said to them? Hold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He said one day when he seen Jesus coming, that's what he said to his disciples. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I tell you tonight, there's some. The Bible's what is, would you say? It's a great book. I can't find words to describe it. It's the written word of God. It's God's word. It's God's truth. It's God's promises. And God watches over this word tonight to perform every word that's written. And I tell you tonight, at this time, it's a great time. We understand, you know, today that people are sort of, they have a, what would you say, you know, they have a sort of a thing, you know, well, you'll do good around Christmas and you'll do the best you can and that there, and some of them at the weekend, you'll see them on the streets, they'll be that full of drink and stuff, they'll not know where they're coming or where they're going. Don't know. Down the road, a slippery slope. I tell you, tonight we're at the end time. We're at the end of the age. You look at the place they are today at hailstones in Sydney. Said it's going to take thousands of dollars or millions of dollars to undo the damage. The Bible said there was hail. No, the Bible said, I'll tell you, but they said on the news, they said those hailstones were as big as golf balls. It showed you the splash and said they wrecked cars and wrecked everything. You know, in the book of Job, it says that God has reserved hail for the day of judgment. You know, Revelation says there was hail mingled with fire and blood. Hailstones and fire mingled with blood. You know, the Bible, someone one time said, or I don't know where, maybe read it in the Bible or a wee footnote or something like that, but I think it said every one of them were about 100 pound weight. You imagine a hailstone 100 pound weight. Well, it coming down, what damage it would do. It would go through the roofs of houses just like a knife went through cheese. You imagine what that would be like. Said God has reserved it for the day of judgment. You know, we're looking at the news, was it? And it showed you, I think it was last night, it showed you on the thing, tsunami in some of these countries. And there was this rap group and they were all singing, and the next thing, it just washed away. Or disappeared. You know, I remember one time, let me say this, when I had to come to a close, I have no watch up here, but I'm going to quit now. I'm not going to keep you too long. But let me say this tonight. I remember one time going to a meeting. And I went to a meeting. It was in the 1960s. And I went on with them. The Beatles were the full go at that time. And they sung, "Yeah, yeah, she loves you. Yeah, yeah, she loves you. Yeah, yeah, she loves you." People were easy players. They thought they weren't, but they were. Satisfied them. She loves you. Grew their hair long like sissies. Sort of went about, they got there. Rickies, Brother Brown called them. And, you know, they said, they made a statement one day. They said that God was dead. They said, God's dead. You know, I stayed in a house in a place called Dulwich Road in England. And in that house there were three young men. They come from Norfolk in England. And they had come down specially for meetings. The man that was preaching was Morris Sorella. And they had come down specially to go to Morris Sorella's meeting. And one boy had a boot on him with a sole lad that. Four inches. At least, good. I would say now, I think back, a good 4 inches. I don't think I was saying wrong, saying that. And I said to him, how did you, what, if you don't mind me asking, how did you get like that? He said, I was in a bad car crash. And he says, my thigh and my leg was totally wrecked. He said it was wrecked, totally wrecked. And he said, I lay in hospital, I think he told me for nine or ten months, he lay a good while in hospital, almost a year. And he said, when I come out, my leg was an inch and a half shorter than the arm. And he says, I had to get a special boot made. And he said, every year from that, I have to get a boot made with a deeper sole on it. It's been getting shorter every year till it was at the present that it was at. And you know, when the meetings were in the meetings, I went to the meetings and I made sure, I went early and made sure I got a seat right near the front. I suppose it was at the back of the hall here. It's the Westminster Centre Hall. It's a real big hall. And I suppose it was about from that the back of the doors there, I thought the platform was. And you know, there was more people on the platform than there is in this meeting tonight. You know, Morris Sorella was preaching about Abraham. He was preaching just about Abraham and the faith that Abraham had. And he was preaching about his life. And just all of a sudden he quit preaching. And he said, there's been a statement made that God's dead. But he says, I can tell you he's very much alive. Yeah. And this young man was sitting 36 down. He just pointed down at him and he says, you, come up here. And the boy was a bit taken back. And he says, me, yes, he says, you, come up here. Brings him out onto the platform and he got two chairs. He sat him down in one chair. And he turned him round to the audience. I think it was his right leg that was his short leg, if I can remember right. I think it was his right leg. But anyway, he sat him on the chairs and put him out. And he says, I'm going to show you here, people tonight, that God is very much alive. He didn't pray any big long prayer. He just prayed a few words, a short prayer. And he said, in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in Jesus' mighty name, let this young man be made whole. I think I see it yet. I can remember it as well as anything. He was sitting on the chair with his feet up on the chair. And this is what it looked like. It just looked like that, like a shock. You thought somebody gave him an electric shock and made him take a jump. He flew off the chair straight out like that. And he flew maybe off the chair right down to past where Sister Carol's sitting, maybe farther. He landed on his feet and he started running. And he ran about 3 laps of that hall that could hardly get him stopped. Boy, I tell you, the place was in pandemonium. There was people shouting, there was people crying, there was people screaming, there was people got healed all over the place. There was people getting healed every place in the building. Just the Spirit of God just swept over the building. People were getting healed everywhere. And you know, I stayed in the house for that young man. I knew what his condition was like. It wasn't put on. It was a real thing. And God healed that young man. You know, another time, I'm going to tell you this testimony, and we're going to come to a close. And anyway, I went over one time and went way up to Scotland, way up the north of Scotland, to a place called Peterhead.
Okay.
And they were having a convention up there, and I went down to the convention. And they had a young man, 2 or 3 young fellas from Finland. And they were great players of instruments and singers. And they were singing and playing, and they would have lifted you up if you had been down and listened to them singing and playing for a wee bit. It would have lifted you. It was very good.
Mm-hmm.
So, a while before I had went there, I used to get a magazine called The Herald of Faith. I don't know why you've ever heard of that wee magazine. That was a magazine called The Herald of Faith. And the man that wrote The Herald of Faith was friends with Brother Branham. And he always would write a good bit of one of Brother Branham's sermons in The Herald of Faith. And he had wrote this and he'd give a testimony. There's a young man in Finland and he's run over by a bulldozer. And the bulldozer shattered his leg completely. And the doctors come and he was taken to the hospital. And Brother Branham, he was in Finland at that same time. That was where I think when the young man was raised from the dead. But he was in Finland at that same time. And he was there at that same time. And the mother, they told her his leg would have to be amputated right away or he would die. And she said no. She wasn't going to do it. She couldn't let them take his leg out. She said she would have to go. She would go to Brother Branham's meeting. And she went to the meeting and she got her prayer cloth. And she brought the prayer cloth back and she laid it on his leg. And his leg instantly became whole. Now I read that testimony. I read the testimony. And often I would relate it, and often I would read it. So I would read it, sit down sometimes and just read it again, and relate it over and think about it. You know, miracles like that give you faith. A miracle, if you see a miracle, it'll give you faith to pray. It'll give you faith to believe. If you ever see a miracle once, you'll faith for an hour. And you know, I read it over, so after the service was over, I went up, it was one of these guys as good as a good English speaker. He could speak English well, and I went up on all. I spoke to this young man anyway, he was playing accordion, and spoke to him. Him had spoke English, and I said to him, he's from Finland. He said, yes, I says, would you greet your friends in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them it's very nice to see them here? That I come from Northern Ireland, and it's nice meeting people like them, and passed like that with them for a moment or two. And I says, it's nice. I says, could I ask you a question? I said, did you ever hear of a man called William Brown?
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me. His eyes all lit up and he looked at me. He says, I think I did. And I says, why, I read a testimony of a man that got run over with a bulldozer and his leg was shot. And I says, would you ever have known about that? Or know that? And he stood and looked at a second or two and he says to me, I'm not same boy. I'm the fellow that got run over with a bulldozer. I'm the fellow that the prayer cloth was cut on. I says, by us all, that is powerful. You know, sometimes we happen to say it's unbelievable. We shouldn't say that. It's not unbelievable. It's believable. All things are possible to him that believes. All things. things are possible tonight to him that believe. You know, I want to wish every one of you Happy New Year. And I want to say this. Pray one for another.
And
love the Lord.
Right.
Stay close to God.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll stay close to you.
Yeah,
set your affections on things above, not on things below. Because we're living in evil days. An evil time. Hope tonight that, you know, there's a lot of stuff we could say tonight about opening that package. There's a lot of stuff that could be unwrapped tonight. There's a lot of stuff. But let's remember this, if you don't remember anything. Jesus Christ, that little baby that come in that manger, he's the one. He's the deliverer. Remember that he's the same yesterday, today and forever. When the disciples prayed, do you know what they prayed in? They prayed in the name of the Holy Child Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God tonight. Just as before we just come to a close, we just bow our heads just for a moment or two. Just for a few moments. Praise the Lord. You know, praise God tonight. God is in this building to confirm his word to you. He's here to watch over his word. To do that it can perform tonight. I'm not going to ask anyone to raise hands. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front tonight. But I'm going to ask you this. As you sit in your heart tonight, as you sit where you're sitting, will you do it along with me tonight? Will you rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Ask him to come in your life. I believe you're saved. I'm not saying that I don't think you're saved. I know you're saved. But will you say, Lord, come tonight and meet my needs tonight. Father God, you saw in my presence tonight. Realize, Lord, you came into the world as a baby. Realize, Lord, that the Bible said way back, the prophet will not that message. He said, a virgin shall be with child. Lord, we realize tonight that that virgin brought forth that child, which was the mighty God. And Lord, we pray tonight, God, touch the hearts of every brother and sister that's found in this house tonight, from the oldest one to the youngest one, we pray. And Father, meet their needs, whatever will they. And Lord, maybe someone sitting in the service tonight and you've been striving by different questions and wondering about different things and wondering about them. You know, I feel the Lord tonight will say to you, don't strive anymore. Just rest. And you'll see that all will work out according to God's will. That everything will be alright and come alright. You know, you've no call to struggle. You know, don't struggle. Cease from your struggle. And rest tonight. This is the rest, he says, whereby you may call to great rest. This is the rest. This is the place that renews your strength. Rest on him tonight. Maybe you're sitting in this service tonight, you're wondering tonight. You're wondering tonight, how am I ever going to do this? How can I do it? You know something. God knows about it tonight. You know something, you can ask God. You know, he says, he knows what it is before you ask him. And you needn't strive about that. You needn't worry. Don't worry about that. Maybe it's a financial thing tonight. I feel like maybe it is a financial thing tonight. You're worried about it. Don't worry anymore about it. Commit it to the Lord. And God will take care of it for you. Let God touch you tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father. Lord, we're a needy people tonight. Lord, we need thee. Lord, like the hymn writer who said, we need thee, oh, every hour I need thee. Blessed Jesus, come, Lord, quicken the word to the people tonight, quicken it to our hearts tonight, and meet needs tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't think God tonight. Listen, maybe you think, well, I haven't done what I should have done. You maybe feel bad. Don't be feeling bad. God doesn't want you to feel bad. The Lord forgives you. Listen, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
Be encouraged tonight. Lift up your hands tonight. Strengthen those people's hands tonight. Lift them up. How will you strengthen them? You'll strengthen them by leaning on the Lord. How will you lean on the Lord? By resting on His words. Rest on His word tonight. Pick His word tonight in your heart. Put it in your heart tonight and believe it for His name's sake. Believe you it tonight. Ask the Lord to come and just meet you again. Christ is Jesus. Just wait a wee moment or two yet. Just let's wait a wee moment or two. Praise God tonight. Father God. Oh Lord. Touch hearts tonight. Meet the need of that dear lady tonight, Lord. And touch hearts tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. I know it. Oh God, quicken thy word to thy people tonight. Bless that dear brother. Bless that boy and bless that girl tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, let that truth that you sent. Lord, you said you sent your word and you healed them. Mm-hmm. Lord, you said the poor man cried and you heard him. Mm-hmm. And you delivered him out of all his trouble. Mm-hmm. Oh God, tonight, hear her cry tonight. Lord, we lift up our eyes unto thee. From whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord. Lord, the psalmist said, I will look unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of the heaven and the earth. You said, lo, the mountains be cast into the sea, and everything be turned every way and any way. You said, be still, and know that I am God. Have confidence in God tonight. Have confidence in Him. Put your confidence in Him tonight. Rest in Him tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless every dear soul. Bless our dear brother that are visiting tonight with us. Let the Holy Ghost come over them, Lord. Give them the desires of their hearts tonight, Father. Until every child of God and every sister tonight, every brother tonight in this house, Father, will be careful to give you the glory, to give you the honor, and to give you the praise. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Praise God tonight for His mercy and for His grace.
Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's stand our feet. Your brother Mark's going to come. I'm not going to take any time up. But really enjoyed the Word of God tonight. God's wrapped gift. Praise God. And there's so much to open up in it, isn't there? You know the difference in that gift and an ordinary gift? When you open an ordinary gift up, that's it. That's as good as it gets. But when you open this gift up, it keeps on folding.
Amen.
It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little.
Amen.
So is the word of the Lord.
The truth.
Praise God. We pray the Lord bless my dad tonight. And there's a lot of people's not well at the moment. Mm-hmm. Some people's missing, they're not well. We've been praying for them. And we're just trusting that God's going to touch them. And you know, I believe the Bible says, covet earnestly the best gifts. And I believe we're living in a time for we need the gift of working the miracles back amongst the body of Jesus Christ. I believe that. And I believe the Lord's laid that on my heart. And as we enter into this year, my dad said so true. We need to be praying that God will help us to seek Him. As the deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul thirsts after God. God will fill you when you get hungry for God. And it's only God that can bring that hunger, and we just pray that God will make us thirsty for Him.
Amen.
Praise God. The Lord bless each one of you. Praise God as our brother leads us, and the Lord bless you over this holiday time. And isn't it great, really, when you sit down to your turkey or your beef, when you think of it, it's the Lord's blessing.
Amen.
Praise God. God bless each one.
Maybe we'll sing that, the Comforter.
Amen.
After we were saying this, maybe the brother Samuel could close with a word of prayer there. And in case I forget to say, people have left with Christmas cards for different ones out in the window right now. Just have a wee quick look before you go.